Heavenly Father, thank you for this chance to gather around and consider some of these different questions to ponder and hear people's stories about finances. I pray that you would speak to our hearts for just the next few minutes on this subject of generosity, and that you'd help us to get a little start here tonight and then conclude it next week and really conclude this finance series with trying to stir all of our hearts towards the idea that God has been good and gracious and generous to us so we can be good and gracious and generous to others. We love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked the last 2 weeks about the idea of investing and growing our wealth and how that's not wrong if our heart is in the right place and if we manage it correctly for God. But what are we growing wealth for? As we said, so that we can have peace about the future. If you're looking to your money to give you peace about the future, sure, it might help a little bit. But if that's where you're looking to put your hope and trust in, you are going to be let down. So the Christian says, it's not wrong to grow some wealth and to have some nice things, but there's a purpose to it. It's not just for me so that I can try to finish my life with the most things and be ahead of somebody else. Somebody said we spend the money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. That would be a very shallow philosophy for a Christian to live their life by. So, is our money that we grow just for keeping, just for spending, just for us? No. We know as a Christian that it's all going offline. No matter how much it is we think that is secure, it's all going to pass away. The car we drove to get here tonight, if the natural course of time continues, it's going to go to a junkyard. It's going to get compacted down to dust. The clothes we wear are going to wear out. We're going to recycle them, and they're going to pass away. Nothing comes with us. So we can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead of us. And we do that by being generous. Number one, generosity is a characteristic of God. Generosity is a characteristic of God. Ephesians 4:32 talks about the importance of loving one another and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So that verse doesn't really have anything to do with money, but what the Apostle Paul says is when you are angry at someone and you don't want to forgive them, you need to love them, you need to be kind, you need to forgive each other. Then he turns around and says, if you don't like that and you don't want to do that, remember that God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven you. So this verse is a great principle. Whatever it is that we struggle with doing that we know we really ought to do, we should stop and remember God has already done it for us and we don't deserve it. Why did God give Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins? He's a generous God. He's a good God. He didn't give it with the expectation of getting things back from us that he currently didn't have. He did it because his heart is good and his heart is kind. Jesus was giving instructions to his disciples as he sent them out on small missions ahead of him in Matthew 10. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Every single Christian could take this verse and put it upon our wall or write it on our heart. Freely we have received, freely we should give. God didn't look at you and I, and he still doesn't look at you and I as us, as his children, and say, I'm going to give them just enough that they'll be okay. He doesn't look at us and say, well, if they are good, I will give them of my love. If they can earn salvation, then I'll give it to them. He looks at us and out of a pure heart of love, freely gives to us. So we should never really struggle in our hearts with the idea of freely giving. Once we've understood the principle, how freely we have received from God, how much of our stuff is ours, and what percentage belongs to God. Another trick question, it all belongs to God, and we're just managing it for him. So God may lead you to do something with finances he doesn't lead other people to do. And if God leads you to do something more extreme with how you give away your wealth, then you should obey God. Freely we have received, freely we should give. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The idea of God not being subject to variableness or shadow of turning speaks to the fact that God is unchanging. So every good gift that mankind has ever possessed is a gift directly from God that we do not deserve. People will say, well, how could God create a world where there's suffering? How could God create a world where there's pain? The truth of the Bible is, when God created the earth, there was no suffering. There was no death. There was no pain. But when you and I decided to sin, we invited the consequences of sin upon ourselves and upon our world. But God looked and said, because I love you, I'll give Jesus to die for you. So what do we deserve if all we got was what we actually were owed? We deserve nothing. We deserve punishment. We deserve the lake of fire. So here's the simple truth of the Bible. Every good thing in the planet today is a gift from God that we don't deserve. It's given to us by God because his heart is good and his heart is kind. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings that we possess are a gift from God. So number two, generosity helps cure selfishness. And just to wrap up on point number one, generosity is God's characteristic. So there was a farmer, and I heard a story from a lady in our church that said my dad was a farmer. And I knew her when I was a child. And she said my dad was a very hard man. And he worked very hard on the farm. And when we sat down to eat, he would say, don't thank God for this food. You thank me for that food. I'm the one who worked for it. But we know that the truth of the Bible is that God is good. God is generous. God is kind. And the book of Exodus, I believe it is somewhere in the Pentateuch, Moses tells the people, it is God that gives you the power to get wealth. So while the farmer works really hard to till the ground and to grow the fruit, it's God that gives the farmer the strength in his legs to be able to walk out back and work on the property. If God doesn't bless us with the health to work, we don't gain anything. So think about it. What motive does God have to give you and I anything? Could God's motive ever be selfish? Could he ever be giving to us and loving us because he really needs what we have to offer? No, God needs nothing. He's all sufficient. He owns everything. He has everything. And whatever generous gift you have in your life, it's come from God himself because God's heart is good and God's heart is kind. So we're talking about our generosity, and knowing that God is generous should lead us to want to be generous. Number two, generosity helps cure selfishness. Couple more verses. Proverbs chapter 1. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. These are warnings against running with people who have violent tendencies. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. In basic, simple terms, if you're greedy of gain, if you want more money and more wealth, and that consumes you, it leads to nothing good. It leads many times to your own death, as you've been consumed with wanting more, and you live a greedy life of violence, trying to steal from people and take what they have. That comes back on your head by wrath, justice, and punishment, either from the government or the people you're trying to steal from. So God warns us against being greedy of gain. And I believe what the Bible teaches through principle is that as we put generosity into practice, as we give, as we exercise the muscle of giving away, it helps cure us of our natural sin nature and tendency, which is to be selfish. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And verse 35, he said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the quote from Christ, it is more blessed to give than receive, is not recorded in the Gospels. And we remember that the Gospels don't record everything that Jesus said, but Paul spent a lot of time with a lot of people who heard Jesus teach a whole lot of different lessons. So even though it's not recorded in the Gospels, we have it recorded here in the book of Acts that the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's another thing that doesn't come naturally to our sin nature or to our human understanding. As a small child, it's going to be a little bit difficult to grasp the concept. It's more blessed for you. You are more blessed to give things away on Christmas than it is for you to open things on Christmas. They're not ready for that yet when they're very small. They're mad when it's somebody else's turn to open a present. They want to see, what did I get? But even a small child, when they get old enough to begin doing small acts of kindness and give things, you can see them consumed with the joy of giving their parent a homemade card that they made for them, or of giving a present to another child. And it's a basic fact that Jesus taught, but it is 100% true. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's good to receive. But there's more riches in being able to look at someone in need and give to them than there is in receiving a gift. Now, a couple of things to consider here. One thing I try to remind people is that God said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if people want blessings, they have to give. But if people want blessings, there also has to be what? Receiving. So if we want to be too proud to let people give to us, we are robbing them of a blessing. So we may say, well, I don't want people to give to me. I don't want people to buy my dinner. I don't want people to say thank you to me in front of the church or whatever these different things are. And that shouldn't be our motive. But I still think we should learn to graciously receive a gift that's given from the heart. And in so doing, we are participating in that person getting a blessing. So different scientific studies who took mass groups of people and surveyed them over long periods of time came back with conclusions that people who give are happier. It helps with depression. When we give, it's contagious and it inspires other people to give. People who consistently give to others live longer and are perceived as more attractive by other people. Think about it. Someone who's always complaining and miserable and taking is not very fun to be around. But someone who gives with a good attitude and a good spirit has a contagious and joyful spirit that makes them more attractive to be around and more of an enjoyable person to spend time with. Has anybody ever noticed that it seems like elderly people can tend to go one way or the other? They're getting near the end of life. Their physical strength is failing them. And sometimes they're the most joyful people you could ever meet. They just want to give you a cookie and pray for you and give you love. Or sometimes they're really, really grouchy and they're very difficult to deal with at all. I don't know exactly what all leads to that place, and I want to have compassion on people, but I do know there's something to the fact that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive, and when we exercise the muscle of giving and being generous, it leads to more happiness from within that is lasting. What a blessing it is to know that we gave to someone in need. What a blessing it is to know that we gave to the Lord's work through the local church or through missions, and that through our gift, the work of the Lord was funded and souls are getting saved. Disciples are being made and the kingdom of God is growing from money that we gave. This is how God wants his work to be funded. Old Testament to New Testament. We'll talk a little bit next week. God's work has always been funded by the giving of God's people. And it's not a burden to say, give to the work of the Lord, give to the church, give to missions. That's not something we should begrudge the Lord about and complain. But God loves a cheerful giver. It's a burden that all of us can bear to consistently and proportionately give to the work of the Lord and to others around us in need. And what I'm trying to communicate as I'm closing out here is very simply giving over the course of your lifetime and being generous is not going to lead you to depleted resources and a life of ministry. Oh, God said I have to give, so that's my burden to bear. It's going to lead you to joyfulness. It's going to help cure your selfishness and live to a richer, fuller, and better life. Practicing healthy habits produces positive change. If I want my biceps to grow, I have to do the curl workouts, right? You have to do it and you have to do it consistently. And then you see the results. So too, we could say, why were those 10,000 millionaires surveyed found to have the characteristic of giving? Doesn't giving away mean you have less? No, it helps feed the healthy habits of working hard, of planning, of being diligent, and experiencing the joy of being able to give to things that matter, and in turn makes us want to have more so that we can give more. So as a Christian, as a family, as a local church, our desire should be not simply to have an inward focus, but to have an outward focus. An inward focus says what makes us the most comfortable. What is what we would like to do the most? An outward focus says if we need to change in order to grow, then we'll change as long as it's biblical, even if it's painful. We can change in order to have an outward focus to say, Lord, help us reach more people. And an inward focus in our finances always says, boy, that's so painful to write that check and give it away to a good cause or to give it to the Lord's work. I could do a lot with that. But an outward focus leads us to an attitude of joyful giving that says, if God has enabled me to give and laid it on my heart and am doing it because God wants me to do it for the right reason, then what a joyful thing it is to be able to take some of what God has given me and to give it to other people. And that's the secret of the Bible, is we would think keeping more for ourselves would make us happier because we would have more. But the more we learn to release it and be generous and give to other people, we are actually a lot happier, even scientifically, than if we were miserly and never shared what we have. James Hudson Taylor said this, "The less I spent on myself and the more I gave to others, the fuller of happiness and blessing my soul did become." I believe it, and I believe it's the truth. And I feel led of the Lord to go ahead and park it right there for tonight with a long discussion, brief Bible study. So let's go ahead and share prayer requests if anyone has prayer requests.